Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our show this week. Well, Bob, looks like we're finally going to be doing a show that isn't just pure gambling.
Yes.
Yeah, it just took me a Hall of Fame member writing a book to get you over to my side, though, huh?
I don't know that I'm on your side, but yes, Arnold Snyder is very famous in blackjack, and we will talk about whatever he writes about.
And he just happened to write about topless bars. So
yes.
I'm kind of excited about
this
that topic.
This will be a full-breasted show tonight.
Now, does this mean if I found a cocktail waitress that was in an incredibly good card counter, we could have her on?
It does mean if you find a cocktail waitress who has written 10 books on gambling that are well-rated, yes, we can.
Wow, that's kind of a high bar.
And I hope we never cross that bar.
All righty. At the end of our show last night, or last week, we recommended to everybody that they watch or listen to a show called Stochasticity. Did you do that?
I did. Should we have a show of hands among our listeners whether or not they listen?
Yes, everyone that...
It was interesting. It starts out with this... girl from England who launched a balloon, and it ended up a couple hundred miles away in near a girl about the same age, looked about like her with the exact same name, and it's like people are going, wow, amazing, and then kind of takes off from there.
Yep, it sure does. I particularly liked the discussion about the flipping of a coin and how real randomness differed from people's expectations from artificially created randomness.
Yes.
That was particularly fascinating. But I think the one that you can really walk away from that show, with something you can use, is the Parkinson's disease sufferer that actually developed gambling addiction only when prescribed a particular medication for dopamine. And as soon as she went off the medication, the gambling problem went away.
That's... Yeah, interesting.
It is interesting.
So anybody with a gambling problem, just stop taking dopamine.
Well, but it all ties into, I mean, if you haven't heard the interview yet, this interview by Radiolab, it's amazing stuff. I've done further research into it, and really the conclusions are that the human brain is designed to look for patterns. It is not designed to spot randomness. It can't see it when it's right in front of it. And if you actually look at completely random events, you end up finding a pattern. I think that's just fascinating. Anyway, obviously applicable to...
It is. I got an email today from somebody who has lost a lot more than he thinks he should have. And is quite amazed. I never get these emails from people who are on the other side of the curve and have hit way too many royals. But this guy is down a couple standard deviations, and he's quite upset about it. Uh-huh. Sure, the machines are unfair. And it's like, it was a big loss, but it was like not the size of a loss that almost all gamblers go through sometime during their life. So all of us are going to go through these several standard deviation losses sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's completely normal.
And he's just happening to go through it now.
It's
he's pissed as hell about it.
Well, the meeting you and I intended about where they showed the logarithmic
yes.
extrapolation of a coin flip. And
we can't really talk about that because it takes a graph.
It takes a graph to display it. But let's just say for the listener's sake, it didn't look like you'd expect it to look. I mean, it's really weird. True randomness is just not what we expect it to be, and apparently that's hardwired into our brains.
That's true. You see somebody hit a royal flush and then three hands later get four aces and a kicker, and you're darn sure that cannot be random. But it can happen.
Anyway, and really the only way to win is not to play the game. If you look for patterns in randomness, you'll see them.
All right.
It's a problem. All right, so... What did you want to do some commercials here?
Yeah, we got to do some commercials. Arnold Snyder is actually in the studio tonight, and so we're going to be talking to him later and probably throwing stuff at him all evening long. So it's actually kind of exciting to be sitting right next to a Hall of Fame member. South Point. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99% before the Slot Club. This is more than anywhere else in the world. The big promotion in June is called $400,000 Swipe, Spin, and Win. And if you look at the signs, the apostrophe on the "and win" is backwards. So I don't know how to say that. But yeah. The way it works is you play 200 points a day, swipe your card at a kiosk between 3 a.m. and 11 p.m., and you receive an award. The awards can range at the bottom end between 2,500 points, which is worth $750 in cash or free play, or a show ticket at the movie theater. At the top end is $50 in gas or $50 in free play. For a $200 coin in, that's a 25% promotion. Now, there's one that officially that's in the middle, but I think is the best gift is 2x points. If I get a 2x points, I'm going to play a lot because I think they're very, very valuable. So those of you who also think 2x points are valuable, then you should go to the South Point and swipe early because it's going to end at midnight on the day that you swipe. So if you do, swipe at 10:30 at night, then you only have an hour and a half to play at most. If you have time during your day, then you need to swipe early so you can take advantage of it. And this may mean that you need to have a different amount of money in your pocket to play for double points for many, many hours than you would if you were only planning to play 200 points. So it's a different ball game. 2x points is next Tuesday. Don't play all day because my class at Sam's Town is happening starting at 1 o'clock. So it's the first class in that new semester. So sorry, Mr. Gaughan, I had to say that. One more thing. I got an email today from the South Point, and they're giving me $25 in free play next weekend. They do this every several months, maybe three or four times a year, that if they have your email address, you get $20, $25, $30 in extra out of the blue free play. If they don't have your email address, you don't get it. But if they do, they will. So if you go give them your email address now, you're not going to get this particular $25. But you'll get it next time around. And the way it seems to work there is if you go in to collect your $25 of free play, don't play exactly $25 and then leave. That tends to dry up your offers. So play at least some if you're going to collect the money. Silverton. This month they have a pull tab promotion. You play 1,000 points, 5,000 points, 10,000 points, and you go up to the booth and you get a pull tab. The currently the pull tabs on the 10,000 are running, I've done it four times, and I've had three $25 free plays and one $75 free play. So it's an average of about 1/3%. So this is not worth a special trip to me. However, I do play on double point days and Monday for senior day, and it's definitely a nice addition. If you are going to play 2 days in a row, you can collect your pull tab up to midnight the day after you earn it. So since the lines can be long, it makes sense to get in line once for two pull tabs rather than for two. The Palms. Another of our sponsors is the Palms. This month they have drawings every Friday night. And you earn drawing tickets, and 10 people win the drawing, and prizes up to $5,000, and they win entries into a subsequent drawing, which is an every 2 week drawing where they're giving away a Ford Focus. Last week, Frank and I were trying to decide what the plural of Ford Focus was, whether it was Focuses or Foci, and he was hungry, so he decided it's Ford Focaccia. So that's what we came up with. The they have the Palms has an old points, new points situation where points earned before they change the slot club can only be used on a comp basis. The ones used, the new points can be turned into free play. Now, they have made a system that you can exchange those old points into gift cards. I think it's Walgreens and CVS, which for many people is the same as cash. Because we all go to those stores at least some of the time and Frank probably should go because he's under the weather tonight, and there's something at CVS which will help him, I'm sure. Even if it's scotch. I don't know what's going to help him. But if you have a lot of these old points, you can get rid of them. It is not at a favorable rate. Usually on new points, they do it at 0.25. If you change them to CVS cards, it's done at a 0.1. So if you're going to still stay at the Palms, still play there, and still go to use the restaurants and stuff occasionally, it's far better to keep your point. If you want to get rid of your points, this is a good way to do it.
And, you know, I just want to say about the Palms, if you are playing there a lot, you really have to get a host. My roomie never got a host and never got any of the extra special offers and things like that. And, of course, my host there is Manny, Manischewitz, and Dennis Aragorn. And I get a lot of stuff, which is not necessarily things you might put tangible, value to. But for instance, this last weekend, I went to this amazing party. It lasted like 2.5 days. And that's something you're only going to get invited to if you have a host.
Is that why you're sick?
No. Actually, I have an ear infection.
Baby, I think he caught it last weekend at this amazing party at the Palms.
Well, I have an ear infection, and it's my left ear, which is the one facing you. So I'm not sure that this is entirely a bad thing.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. Touche. Now, our additional sponsor is the M. The M has these...
Dum, dum, dum.
These Frank and Bob Monster Progressives. And
shall I give the report?
Yeah, go ahead.
All righty. First off, we finally... three of the Dollar Royals now have been hit. Deuces, Joker, and Super Double Bonus Poker have been hit. So it's finally starting to get some serious action. The quarter... It's off the hizzy. It's been hitting every other day or every day a couple of times. The quarter JOB is at 2701. The quarter bonus poker is at 1216. The double bonus poker is at 2380. The double bonus poker is at 2722. The deuces is currently the high meter and is at 3258 as of 5 o'clock. The joker is at 1904. The bonus poker deluxe is at 2483, and the super double bonus poker is up to 1852. On the dollar side, most of the meters are at 7513, except for the three that I mentioned that were hit, which are now at deuces is 5203, joker's at 5309, bonus poker deluxe is at 5808. Oh, and the super double bonus poker is at 5071. So I guess four were hit. Correction. And over to you, Bob.
All right, let me introduce our guest. Arnold Snyder is one of the original seven inductees to the Blackjack Hall of Fame. He, along with Stanford Wong, were my primary gurus when I played blackjack. For many years, he published the Blackjack Forum. This is an academic journal dedicated to exploring different ways to gain an advantage over that game. It was like going to graduate school in blackjack. And very high-level articles in that journal. It still exists today in an online version. He's testified in a number of lawsuits, including one involving Tommy Hyland that we referred to when Tommy was a guest on the show. In recent years, Snyder's turned his interest to Texas Hold'em, both as a player and as a writer. Somewhat off the beaten path gambling-wise, he's written several books on Sudoku. I have the books. I've not looked at them yet. I'm very excited about looking at the Sudoku books because I'm a good player and a self-taught player, and I've not really shared secrets with, you know, how I do things versus the way somebody else does things. And so I'm very interested in picking up just a few of the secrets would make a big difference, because and who knows, maybe I know something he doesn't, in which case I'll have to call him back and tell him. Now, the reason he's on the show tonight is not Sudoku and not Blackjack. His recent book, his most recent book, is called Topless Vegas, which is not a typical feature of this show by a long shot. But this book was written by Arnold Snyder, who definitely qualifies as a Gambling with an Edge guest. So tonight we're going to be talking about girls wearing not much more than a smile. So Arnold Snyder, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
It's good to be here, Bob. I just want to say that when I gave this book to Kurt over at Huntington Press, I said, Kurt, watch. I've been writing about blackjack, poker, internet gambling. For 30 years I've been writing about gambling. I'm going to write this book, watch. Very soon I'm going to be on the radio.
Really? You said that?
I did say that.
Uh-huh. Nobody asked you on the radio when you wrote the blackjack books?
Not really, no.
Really? Okay, I would have thought you would have been a popular guest. Okay, good.
Well, we didn't have our show then. We would have had you on.
Oh, for sure. Okay.
We still will, you know, if you want to talk about
it. I still have
him.
Those blackjack books out there.
Good,
know,
and so. we'll talk about that. We talked about, hey, we had Stanford on talking about professional blackjack, and that hasn't been updated for 20 years. So yeah. We can definitely talk about your blackjack books.
Speaking of this rather off topic from your normal, you know, fair book, I think everyone would probably love to know how you got this gig.
It wasn't
actually your idea, was it?
Actually, it was my idea.
It was, okay.
It was my idea. I was writing this book. I was writing a book very similar to this 20 years ago, literally 20 years ago. But it was a national directory of strip clubs, and it was very much in this style. I had gone through 32 of the 50 states. I had 18 left to go. I'd already done Alaska and Hawaii because those were the far ones. And I had personally been in about 700 strip clubs in the country.
Wow.
And then my house burned down. My house burned down while I was in Hawaii getting the data on the strip clubs in Honolulu. And I had a four-drawer file cabinet that had all this data in it, and it all disappeared.
Oh my God.
I couldn't redo it. I had no advance on it. I had my own publishing company then. I was planning to publish the book. A few months later, I was in Montreal for a gambling conference, and I was sitting there with Anthony Curtis, the publisher of Huntington Press, and he was asking me, you know, gee, what was your biggest loss in that fire? And I said, you wouldn't believe the amount of work I put into this book. I just had this file cabinet full. It was like state by state, city by city, all this data on, you know. And this was in 1991. There was no internet where you could go Google, you know, strip clubs in Toledo. Sure. And get them. Furthermore, and a lot of people probably know this, you cannot look up strip clubs in a phone book. There's no telephone directory that has adult entertainment. You might find, say, Play It Again, Sam, listed under nightclubs or bars. Would you know that's a strip club? Would you know half the strip clubs just by name are strip clubs? Now, if it says Hustler or Baby Babes or something, you might say that's a strip club. But
Olympic Gardens, there's nothing specific.
No, you would not guess that was a strip
club.
That's
true.
Somebody coming from out of it. So what I had to do is I was literally flying into a city. And talking to cab drivers, and then they would steer me to a number of strip clubs, and then I would talk to the bartenders and the bouncers and get steered to other ones. Well, I mean, so the collecting of this data, the data that I lost was not something that was easy to get together. Mm-hmm. Today, you can go online and you can get addresses, phone numbers, all kinds of comments from customers and on just about everything. But at that time, you know, this was like a very unique idea to have a directory like that. And at that time, Curtis said to me, he said, look, Arnold, I think this is a great idea. If you want to do that book, I'll pay for it. I'll pay the expenses.
Including lap dances and private rooms?
Yeah, we didn't just go into details. Uh-huh. Let me just, the major expenses on this book were airline flights, rental cars, motels. You know, I mean, I was eating, you know, lots of junk food. I told him I can't do it. I cannot spend another year collecting data like this.
Yeah, can
even,
I?
Even with you paying the expenses, this was too painful. And the idea died. Well, then I moved to Vegas about 10 years ago, and I actually had a website for a while called Strip Club Crawler, LasVegasStripClubCrawler.com. It's not online anymore. It's not there. It was taken down when the book came out. But what I did was on the website, I went and reviewed all the clubs in Las Vegas, pretty much in the style of Topless Vegas, the Topless Vegas book. And I sent the text to Anthony Curtis and said, hey, you know, why don't we do this as a book? And some months later, he said, you know, Arnold, I think that might be a good idea. Why don't you fill that out? And, you know, and I did. And he said, you know, okay, look, I'll go your expenses this time. Well, there's no more flights, no more hotels, no, you know, no meals, no rental cars. So he got off.
Technically,
he got off cheap. But uh-huh. I mean, still going to all the strip clubs and trying to get all the information, yeah, there was an expense to it.
So, in Vegas, they have topless bars and they have nude bars. Now, other than the obvious about whether or not they're wearing pants, what's the difference between what's in a topless bar and what's in a nude bar?
Okay, this has to do with technically the law. Mm. Okay, the law says that. Adult males or adult females, any adults over the age of 18 can watch other adults over the age of 18 take their clothes off on a stage.
Okay.
This show is legal if you're 18 years old. So a guy turns 18, he's, you know, say high school senior, hey, you know, him and his buds can now all go down to Little Darlings and watch all the girls take their clothes off and, you know, have a great time. 3 years later, the guy turns 21. Now the law says, hey, you can drink. You can go to the liquor store, a bar. Okay, now I want to have a – no, okay, I was talking about my cat.
Well,
but we'll leave that alone. Okay, well, let's just say – so now what the guy does –
our producers over here realize that he has to have that sensor button really close handy here.
Yeah.
So I think he
got that one. No, you're not. Let's call it the female lower quarters.
Okay, okay. So now the guy turns 21. And they say, okay, you can drink. So now he gets the idea, hey, you know, I think I'll have a beer while I'm looking at the female lower quarters. And
not,
the law
not
says,
legal.
No. Weird you laws. Can look at the female lower quarters or you can have a beer. But you can't have a beer while you're looking at the female lower quarters. That's the law.
Uh-huh. It's a strange law.
Well, this is for our own protection.
Uh-huh.
Because imagine what would happen if a guy was drinking a beer and suddenly saw the female lower quarters.
Well, there could be an implosion of a quantum.
No telling what might happen, which is why we have this law. It's a very intelligent law.
Yes. Yeah. Now, of course, I think 3 years later, then you should be able to combine the two. So like at 25, we should have.
They haven't made that law yet.
They haven't?
Uh-huh. No.
I also thought instead of doing all these books on Sudoku and one on topless bars, you should do topless Sudoku.
But that's another possibility. I'll keep that in mind.
Well, yeah, but yeah. He still owes us one from strip poker because he writes on that subject too. Now, you said you learned you had taxi drivers in these other cities. Now, in Vegas, taxi drivers used to steer you to particular clubs. There were taxi wars relating to strip clubs.
It's still ongoing.
Is it?
To be honest, that to a great extent, and this is just in the past few weeks, the taxi wars have really cooled down. What was happening was the wars got so bad that the drivers were getting $100 and more per head for every customer they delivered to the strip clubs, and there had always been payola going to the taxi drivers. It used to be $10, $20, $25. It stayed like that, like 30 and under for many, many years. And then all of a sudden, Vegas started going into a tourist slump. There weren't as many people coming into town. And at the same time, a lot of big new strip clubs were opening. And the locals, well, they already had their favorite places. They were already at Spearmint Rhino and Cheetahs, and they knew where they liked to go. And the big clubs were suffering. So they started saying, well, they're paying you 25, we'll pay you 35, we'll pay you 40, we'll pay you 50. And every time somebody would raise it, the other clubs, until it got up over 100. And at that point, clubs started closing. Velvet Lion, here's a club with like the worst luck in town. They took over a club called Striptease. What is it on? Valley View, I think. They took it over, but, beautiful upgrade to the club. They were there for a couple years, but they could not afford, when they started taking over the place, these taxi wars weren't that much in full swing, but it just got worse and worse. The club finally, they had to, sell it for a song to another group that took it over, and that club, now I don't know if they're going to get better now. What happened was there was one club in town, a real big club, used to be called Scores. Before that, it was Jaguars. Called Rick's Cabaret.
Oh, my friend was managing it.
Okay.
Actually, he was the guy that trained me in martial arts.
He was.
One Kick Nick, Nick Bloomgren?
I don't know.
He was managing Jaguars.
Okay, well, what happened was Rick's was the one that was really pushing the money, or at least this is what the different managers at other clubs were telling me, was that they would all get together and say, look, we got to stop this. Let's hold it at 50. Everybody hold it at 50. And they're all, okay, we're all holding it at 50. And then that night, Rick's would tell the cab drivers, look, we're still going to give you 80. So they, then the other clubs had to update. And this happened time and time again. Well, all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, Rick's
closed. Couldn't really trust that guy, huh?
Rick's closed. They closed their doors. Now, this club had big crowds. One, they were paying cab drivers top dollars, so they were getting a massive amount of the tourist trade, and the when you attract the clientele, you attract the dancers.
Sure.
So they had great dancers. It was a really nice club. They actually had great food there, but the problem was they weren't making any money. Yeah. They couldn't afford to pay the cab drivers what they were paying them. And, Rick's is a big, it's a national conglomerate of strip clubs. And the parent company said, we can't take it anymore.
And they actually closed.
They closed. They closed a few weeks ago.
So that's brought a detente. Huh?
What I heard is that the current rate is like $20-$25 bucks again. Hmm. And it's been that. And I don't think it's going to crank up again.
One of my hats, incidentally, I do professional photography, and I was dropping off pictures to a club, and I was in their office while they were doing the paying, the check writing for the cab drivers, and it was fascinating. I was watching this, and the cab drivers would come in, they'd take a photo of their ID and go out, and that was the first I'd ever heard about it, but I actually saw it firsthand. And I think what's interesting to take away this from our listeners is, usually when you ask advice from a cab driver, hey, what's your favorite restaurant or what, blah, blah, they'll tell you the one that they like the best. But here, as a tourist, if you ask that question of a cab driver, you're not getting their advice. You're getting
the one that is going to pay them the most.
Going to pay them the most.
And if you were a cab driver and there was a club that's going to give you $100 and a club that's going to give you $25, aren't you going to say, why don't you try this club over here?
And this leads into a plug for you. Yeah. So if you were a tourist and you want the good skinny on what the best clubs are, you don't ask a cab driver. What do you do?
You can ask me.
You read his book. The amount of money that you could save by reading your book to find out where would be a good place to go.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me. I did my own little tour of all the clubs in town to find one I liked, like 10 or 12 years ago. And I probably went through $2,000 or $3,000, before I finally settled on two or three places that I favored.
Yeah.
Cheetahs is one of those places.
There's huge difference from club to club in everything, in pricing, in the dancers, in the quality of the club, in the price of a beer. You can get a beer at... last time I was in Sapphire, a domestic beer, a Budweiser, $12. Now you can go to what is it over at Rhino or Cheetah's? I think Cheetah's was $7 the last time I was in there, $7 or $8, $6. I can't. But a lot of clubs are in that $6 to $8 range. But then you've got other clubs. A lot of the clubs that cater to locals. If you're a local here, you really shouldn't have to spend more than $5 for a beer. And a number of clubs here actually have locals' nights where the beer is free. Deja Vu Showgirls has been having, I can't remember which night it is right off, and since I haven't been in there a while, I'm doing another update right now, so I got to run around to all the clubs and get their prices. But I mean, they have night where you basically can drink all night for free. And Crazy Horse 3, once or twice a week, has a locals night where you can drink for free for a few hours.
Crazy Horse 3?
Yeah.
Do you happen to know the staff over there?
I know a few of the people over there.
Is Papa Ray still?
I don't know. Ray. I know Keith Regano is over there.
The reason I ask is that many years ago I went out with his daughter. But anyway, moving right along.
All right, there's lots of these strip clubs in Vegas. Yeah. And in Pahrump, which isn't too far away, there's brothels.
Right.
Now, what's the differences between these kind of establishments? How are they similar? How are they different?
Well, first of all, I've never been to a brothel in Pahrump. So I couldn't really answer that authoritatively. Now, I don't go to brothels.
Okay.
In my younger days, and we're talking like two wives ago, I did go to a number of these establishments. These were not in Pahrump, and they're very different from strip clubs, very different. Well, first of all, there's no kind of entertainment. They're quiet. There's just a little bar. There's a couple of girls that, you know, that will say, you know, hi, do you want to go to my room and I'll tell you the price? And, you know, let me put it this way. If you have, say, $50 and you want to have fun, you can go to a strip club because, one, first of all, if you're a local, the clubs are free to get in, just about all of them. And the you know, you don't have to go to a place that charges you $12 for a beer. You can go to a place that charges you $4 or $5. You know, so that you could actually spend a few hours in a strip club and have a good time. You're not gonna have any fun in a brothel with $50. It's just not gonna happen. And it's gonna be in and out. You know, your time in there. You might have, you know, you got. Well, if you
that's
have a,
the reason you go to a brothel. Yes,
that was the worst possible words you could have used to describe that experience.
Am I allowed to say in and out?
I think so. Okay.
It's a burger joint.
It's a burger.
It's a burger joint.
All right.
And they have very good burgers there. I particularly like their fries.
Now, I don't understand how guys regularly pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars to go to these places over and over and over again. I was always trying to get and keep a bankroll. So the idea of spending several thousand a month going to these places is just not on my radar at all. Now, explain for our gambling audience how this is positive EV for anybody here.
Okay, well, first of all, we have a gambling audience, and they understand the term EV, which is a very common gambling term, which means expected value. Okay, uh-huh. But now I imagine for tonight's show, you've got a bunch of perverts out there that essentially don't know what EV is, so I'm explaining that.
Okay.
In a gambling game, it means if you bet 100 and you have a 10% advantage, so you expect to come away with 110, well, that's a 10% EV or a $10 EV. Now, when you go to a strip club, you have an EV. It's not expected value. It's what we call erected value.
Erected.
Am
value.
I allowed to say that?
I think so. There's nothing wrong with the word
you're
value.
Fine.
Okay. So you see, it's a completely different. You know, you're comparing apples to oranges here, Bob.
Yeah. By the way, I guess you haven't read his book, right, Bob?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you did. Well, right in the full version. I didn't know, by the way, the pocket version doesn't have. Thank you for sending me the full one. But I really like the section on why men go to topless bars in the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. Good information. You know, the reason I went to topless bars is I actually had almost no experience talking to women, and I learned everything I know about being able to interact with women at topless bars. It was a hugely.
Well, that explains how come you act like women the way you do. That's good. Now, you also talk about pools,
yeah.
Swimming pools in Vegas, where toplessness is allowed. There's European pools and American pools all within Vegas. So Paris obviously would be a European pool because Paris is in Europe. Is that how you do it?
No, actually, because Paris doesn't have a topless pool. The only pools I cover are the topless pools. And Las Vegas, in fact, to my knowledge, Las Vegas is the only city in the world that has you know, 8 or 10 pools open to the public, adults only, where the women can go topless. It's the only city in the world. I don't know anywhere else that actually has this as a choice. People can, you know, walk into the most of them have a fee, not all of them. But so this is a very Vegas phenomenon, and this is because of Vegas is what it is. Vegas is a town with a lot of theater people. There's a huge LGBT community here. It's a very tolerant town, and strippers here are not necessarily considered the way they would be in, say, Cleveland or you know, just about any other city.
This is not the Bible Belt.
Right. Well, technically, I mean, there is a very, you know, kind of a right-wing religious thing in Vegas, but it's really at odds with the city.
If you're a stripper in Vegas, it just means you're pretty.
Yeah, and technically, those topless pools, some of them really do cater to strippers who are working on their tan. They don't want tan lines, and so they can go to a topless pool. They don't have to go to a tanning salon. And in Vegas, it's kind of crazy to have to go to a tanning salon with the sunshine we got here.
To give people an idea of just how ubiquitous becoming a dancer is in this town, 4 out of 5 of the women that I knew in high school danced at least briefly.
You only knew 5 women in high school.
No, I'm saying 80%. Okay, let's go with 80%.
Okay, that's.
And one of them was a head cheerleader.
Good.
Okay, but now you were asking about the difference between what I call American style and European style.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I call European style a pool like you will find at, say, Wynn or Encore. These are pools that allow women to be topless. But they do not necessarily try to foster a big party atmosphere. They don't have a DJ that's spinning house music at blasting volume. They don't have people dancing on the deck. Again, so these are just pools where, you know, there's topless women there, but they're laying on a lounge chair and reading an Agatha Christie novel or something. If they go in the pool,
For sunbathing.
That's all they're there for. Now you go to Dow Beach, which is the topless pool over at Venetian. This is a party. They got a DJ. They got loud music. Everybody's dancing there. They got girls running around with buckets of beer and shots and shooters and it's like a nightclub party, except it's at a pool. And so it's very different from what I call the European style, where the women are topless, but it's not necessarily real exciting atmosphere.
I grew up on the beaches of France, so I know all about that. We did have one quick question that came to us from VP Free for you, actually from one of the most famous VP Free posters, Mickey Krim. He said that several years ago you wrote about a Colorado blackjack player was using a strategy card at the table. The kind they sell in the casino gift shops. And apparently he was arrested and charged with using a cheating device. Do you remember this?
I do remember this, yeah.
Okay, well, it goes on to say the Colorado statute was charged under was an exact copy of the Nevada law that says you can't use electronic devices at a table. He never found out how it ended and wanted me to ask you what was the eventual outcome of that. Apparently you were trying to find a lawyer for him.
Boy, I honestly don't recall.
Oh no!
I don't recall the outcome. I'm going to guess it was thrown out of court. Somebody might. I have a feeling if there was an outcome other than that, I would remember it. And I probably followed up. I don't even. This was really quite a number of years ago. At least 10, maybe 15.
This gives you no excuse not to come back for another visit, and you have to tell us how this ended.
Have to look for in like an old issue of Blackjack Forum. But the Nevada law is pretty. It's written very poorly. Many attorneys think that it would fail a constitutionality test if it was challenged in court. It's just that nobody's challenging it.
Certainly, a strategy card is not an electronic device.
It does, the law doesn't say electronic device. It says any device used to assist in making gambling decisions.
Oh.
It's almost like, well, gee, you know, how about my eyes? They're a device. You know, how about my brain? That's a device. it's very weird.
Thank you, Arnold. This has been extremely informative. I now know more about topless bars than I did before, that's for sure. Depending on our feedback from our listeners, I have a feeling that they're going to want us to ask you more questions next time you come. Hope you're open to coming back again. And by that time, I will have read the Sudoku book, and we'll even talk about that.
This has been a real pleasure for me, and I'm honored to be here.
Good. Thank you.
Incidentally, if you wanted to go to Cheetah's later afterwards, the manager is expecting me. So.
Oh, good.
Okay. Great.
Well, we'll talk after the show.
All right. Good. Our future guest next week is I. Nelson Rose, who is a gambling and the law attorney. He was on a month and a half ago with one of our most popular shows. He's coming back and will visit with us next week. If you have any gambling and the law sort of questions, email them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. We will pick the ones of the most general interest. In 2 weeks, Nolan Dalla is going to be here. Nolan is a poker player and a writer. I'm currently reading his book on Stu Unger, and he's also the media director for the Harrah's World Series of Poker. Nola was supposed to be here last week, and it was the third day of the World Series of Poker, and he forgot about it. So, and he had turned off his phone because they were doing some television work and he couldn't have it ringing, so we couldn't get a hold of him. Anyway, he has repented 18 times, and he's going to be coming back on in 2 weeks. After that, other guests that we have that are coming that are on the horizon, one is Bill Zender, who writes books for casino executives. And kind of by reverse engineering, players should know what he has to say. He has a very different view on card counters than most casino executives. We are going to hear from Blair Rodman, who is a poker player whose book is called Kill Phil. It is a how to compete in tournaments in a few steps and how to put skilled players at a how to become more even with them by making their basically go all in or fold every time, something like that.
You just mentioned a different outlook on blackjack card counters.
With Bill Zender?
Yes. I hadn't had a chance to mention this to you, but I just had dinner with a casino manager from Washington State.
Okay.
And he told me about their policy for giving the talk to blackjack players. And it's very interesting. So when you're done talking, remind me and I'll tell you.
Okay, good. We also, George Maloof is going to be here soon.
Woohoo.
He's the head of the Palms and an interesting character. He's the casino owner who gave me my first break as a video poker teacher, so I am indebted to George forever. Someone who we just spoke to today, who's going to be on soon, we haven't picked a date yet, is named Richard Munchkin. It's a made-up name because that's what he looks like. He looked like Mr. Munchkin. His book, Gambling Wizards, writes about some very highly successful gamblers in a whole bunch of fields, horse racing, backgammon, some amazing people. When I first heard about the book, I was going, oh, you should have written about me. And then I read the book and going, no, I don't deserve to be in there. These guys are way over my head. So anyway, he's going to be with us, and I'm looking forward to that. He's he's an entertaining guy. He's like Max Rubin. If you think Max Rubin's entertaining, Munchkin is more so. So
I just downloaded the movie that George Maloof produced as research for our interview.
Oh, I don't know about this movie.
Yep, it came out in 2005. It was a comedy horror movie, and I don't yet have a review of it because I just got it last night. I got a copy.
Okay.
So I'll let you know. We'll get to tell you how George's movie was. I was really surprised to find out he was actually an active, but he played basketball himself.
No. George is much too short to play basketball. However, he was on the UNLV Running Rebels football team in the.
It was a football team.
He was a safety in the. He was a reserve safety, so that's in the defensive backfield.
Ah, okay. I just started my research, so.
But George is.
He's, I don't know, he's 50-ish now, something, but he's...
He looks pretty good. I met him at the Playboy Playmate party.
He's definitely fit, but he was never a 6'8" basketball player, I assure you. That just didn't...
So on that casino, the dinner I had, his name, really super, super nice guy. His name is Lawrence, and I guess he's a friend of my buddy Wayne.
Okay.
We went out to dinner. He treated us to this wonderful Moroccan restaurant called Habib's, and he was telling us that they train them absolutely under no circumstances to kick out card counters unless they get even, to always give them a chance to get back to even. So if they check to see if they're losing or winning. And if they're losing, they let them at least get even before they give them the talk and back them off.
Interesting.
Arnold's here. Is that? Have you found that a lot of casinos do that?
It's highly unusual. In fact, most of them would say he's losing. Good, get him now, get him out while he's at a loss. You know, so yeah, it's very polite. It's hard to tell exactly what you know. But it's unusual,
especially when the players regularly rat hole chips and try to make it very hard for the casino to know if they're winning or losing.
That's very true.
This is how he was apparently taught by his, you know, instructor. He was a casino manager, and the reasons he gave were twofold. One, people playing with an edge don't always win, so there's a chance they'll lose more.
That's for sure.
And two, if you're going to back somebody off, it's easier to give the speech to them, and you don't get as much flack if they're not stuck money. So they're looking at it from the point of view of they don't want a person that's angry and mad. And it's also been their experience that if you back people off when they're losing, they'll try to sneak back in and get their money back. Whereas if you back them off when they're even, they walk away.
I suggest that they're going to be mad no matter what. They're not going to be happy no matter what. And they're going to try to come back whether or not they were winning or losing. I don't know of very many blackjack players who were backed off once and stayed backed off.
Well, we have one only 3 feet away. How would you feel?
I would agree with Bob. I don't think whether you're in a losing or a winning position, if you think you can, the game is good and you can get an edge in that game, and you think you can get back in there and play just because it's a different shift, different pit, you're probably going to go back in and play.
Hmm. Tommy, by the way, Tommy Hyland,
mm-hmm.
said that he always tried to get back into places where he'd been losing, where he'd been kicked out, but
yeah.
So he took it personally. If he was down, he didn't want him to get with his money.
Well, but if he was winning, I bet he went deck too. I assume there are casinos, Arnold, as a player that you're, or you know, players who've been kicked out of the same casino 10 times, 20 times.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I do. Yeah. They just got a different ID. I know. They'll even go in with a different ID and a mustache and try to get another player's card with a different name on it. And try to avoid, like, the pits and the pit personnel that might recognize them by just going in on different shifts and stay on that one for as long as they can. I know players who have done this over and over again. Yeah. Very common for card counters.
Yeah, like now you have curly hair, which I assume is au naturel for you, Arnold. But when I first met you, you were totally bald or shaven, your head.
Right.
And I've seen you in various other modes through the years.
Yeah.
And so it's just part of the game.
Wow. It's not a part of the progressive game.
Yeah, well, you have to show your driver's license when you get a jackpot of $1,200 or higher. And so whether you have curly hair or shaved head, it's the same driver's license. Now, different subject. I heard an interesting story about Silverton this week. A lady friend of mine just turned 50. She was really ticked about it, but the biggest thing she goes is, well, now she can go to be in the senior promotions. And so she went and she played $30,000 on senior money at Silverton, did not win. But normally with that much play, you get picked once or twice out of the five possibilities. The next week she went and played $40,000, didn't get called. Now, this has some positive probability of happening, but 5%, maybe less, something really small. So she goes to the club, and so she says, I should be in it. Can you check and make sure? I was told it's going to be automatic, but this is really unlikely. So they went and checked, and they said, you weren't put in. And so whenever they're programmed to put the names in, she wasn't in.
So the way they decided to do it is her play for the last 2 weeks is going to be put in next week's drawing. So in other words, she's going to get full credit for that much play, which is a solution which strikes most people as fair. They're giving her, although those of us who played the last 2 weeks had slightly better odds than we should have, and those who play next Monday slightly worse because her $70,000 worth of points are now going to be put in. But I thought that was a good solution for the Silverton to come up with.
It was, but it's also an important lesson is whenever you hear the words, well, it's automatic, or, you know, if there's a computer involved, don't believe them.
But it's hard to know beforehand. They go, yeah, you're in.
And you can't usually always believe what you ask employees. I mean, there was a promo down in Laughlin where I actually called, got the rules and the promotion, knew that it was difficult to trust a single person, so called back, talked to a different department, and called a third time and talked to a yet another department and got the same information from all three, and then marshaled 12 of my players at the time to go down to Laughlin, and when we got there, the rules were different than what was stated to me on the phone. So you can just never be too sure, and I think the best thing to do is to ask for a written printout of the rules, and it's something you have to do in person. I mean, it's great to call ahead.
There's another more important part than asking for the rules, though.
And that is?
Reading the rules.
Oh.
Reading the rules carefully. This is not light reading. This is like every word slowly.
Yes. If you have adult ADD, you're going to have serious issue.
Yeah, it's reading rules is there's a fortune in rules as to how things are done.
Yeah, so just what we're advising is that you just read all the rules the same way you would do for a VCR remote.
Oh, you don't do that. You let your 12-year-old kid. The reason to have kids is so they can set up your VCRs, remotes. There's no other reason to have children in the world.
Really, Bob?
Yes, that's...
Bob has some different viewpoints on various aspects of life. It's not that he's wrong. It's just that's how he sees it. So, great show.
We have a new... Only in Vegas, Carolyn Goodman, who is the mayor's wife, is now the mayor.
Oh.
So we had the Oscar Goodman, his mob lawyer, has been a very popular mayor for
This contravenes popular knowledge. I thought a good man was hard to find.
But there's term limits, so now his wife, he supported his wife, and she won... Easily.
5 seconds till show close.
All righty. So go out and hit lots of royal flushes. See you next week.
These are the voyages of the radio show Gambling with an Edge. Its 5-year mission, to seek out new plays and new opportunities for profit, and to boldly go where no radio show has gone before, while taking shots at every pop culture reference we can along the way. Though our captain doesn't always get the girl, and his first officer is far from logical, we're still better than a semi-organic nutrient suspension in a silicon-based liquid medium, or a game of Fizbin. Even when we aren't good, we are good for you. Whether you want a piece of the action, or live in a city on the edge of forever, let it be your prime directive to make us your first contact. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on KLEV. Lest ye risk a buildup of intertergic transphasic quantum waves that could blow your starboard power coupling and main energizer, reverse your polarity, and remodulate your outlook as you join us now with our newly installed Corbomite device as we cross the boundary layer between where we were and where we are. Our show isn't fascinating, but it is interesting. And we're giving her all she's got. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website VideoPoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you Thursday nights at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity. gosh, this music is making me sad. How'd you like to be a mystery shopper, earning no less than $450 a venture? Getjob450@gmail.com. It's easy, simple, and no application fees. Getjob450@gmail.com. Getjob450@gmail.com. Earning cash for shopping. Getjob450@gmail.com. Be a mystery shopper. Getjob450@gmail.com. Getjob450@gmail.com.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
Westside.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
You already know Facebook is great for communicating with family and friends. But did you know it's also great for communicating with your favorite radio station? Search KLAV 1230 AM on Facebook to see all the great programming KLAV has to offer. And when you like us on our Facebook fan page, you're automatically entered in future contests for fabulous prizes. Like us on Facebook today and meet the KLAV host. Search KLAV 1230 AM on Facebook. Love us on radio. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
Hi, I'm Duke Liberatore.
And I'm Dr. Jan McBaron.
We are a husband and wife team.
And together, we host the number one health talk show in the nation,
Duke and the Doctor.
You can hear our show weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. here on KLAV 1230 a.m.
We'll discuss up-to-date health news, give away gifts, share in a laugh or two, and answer health questions from our callers.
Feel happy, healthy, and terrific when you tune in to Duke and the Doctor.
Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on KLAV 1230 a.m., the Talk of Las Vegas.
Hi, this is Steve Crowley, our national radio program, Steve Crowley's American Scene. We're 21 years young on the air, and the real news, the good news, is that American Scene is airing now right here on KLAV AM 1230, Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Our programs help you survive and prosper through up and down economies. So join us for Steve Crowley's American Scene weekdays at 10 right here on KLAV, the Talk of Las Vegas.
Hi, this is attorney Malcolm Laverne, host of The Legal Hour, right here on KLAV. If you've been in a car accident, if you're thinking about filing for bankruptcy, if you've been arrested, or if you need a divorce, custody, or child support matter handled, please give me a call at 448-7981. Again, that's Las Vegas, 448-7981. The Laverne Law Group is a general service law firm.
The Legal Hour, Friday night at 7, only on KLAV.
If you believe the teachings of Jesus Christ are the best way to create the kingdom of heaven on earth and are ready to be a part of a practical Christian community, you'll want to join us from 4 to 5 on Saturday afternoons for The Practical Christian. Brought to you by the Family Music Center, meeting all your music needs with instrument rentals and personal lessons at all three locations, and by Optima Financials and Insurance, specializing in securing your future. Won't you join The Practical Christian on Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5?
A learning disability means you're finished, right? Wrong. Introducing the Never Give Up Show, brought to you by the Never Give Up Foundation, hosted by Matthew Cox. The Never Give Up Show is about letting go of your fears and breaking the shackles and stigma associated with learning disability. And life coach Matt ought to know, he himself was diagnosed with a learning disability. Now he's a motivational speaker with an advanced degree. This is powerful radio. The Never Give Up Show, Tuesday afternoon at 4.
Cosmetic plastic surgery. Everyone has heard of it, but what is it? Hi, I'm Dr. Gordon, and I will be hosting a new show on plastic surgery Wednesdays at 4 p.m. right here at KLAV 1230 on your AM radio dial. Come explore with me the excitement of cosmetic plastic surgery for adults and children. Topics will be discussed for the first one half hour, following which phone lines will be open. It's all right here Wednesdays at 4 p.m.
Hi there, this is Sammy Hagar here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. Now, style's a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody else's business. please plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Because friends do not let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by RAD, the National Association.
Love us on radio. Like